beginning to be saved. The letters to the Thessalonians are absolutely chock full of comfortable words to believers. Now, one of the themes that moves through these two letters to the church in Thessalonica is the end times and how Christians should behave, knowing that Jesus will return just as he promised. Perhaps you know these stories also, but my uncle was fond of speaking about people from his town in the 1950s. It seems like there was at least one silver-tongued preacher who had a fair following. And once or twice, after receiving a word of prophecy, he told the congregation to leave everything behind and head up to the top of the hills in the Arbuckle Mountains, that ridge that runs between Oklahoma and Texas. They were going to go there because Jesus was going to come on this day certain, and this time for sure. The prophecy was not of the Lord, of course, because we know that the true test of a prophecy is that it is true if the conditions are met. So I'm assuming, since we are all here, that Jesus did not come as that particular preacher had expected. I mean, unless we are the ones, of course, left behind, which I don't think that's the case. So far, so good. I say Jesus has seemingly found grace to tarry for us just a little while longer, and that's a good thing. I give thanks to God for that. Now, we all know about the end times, and this idea of end times certainly appeals to a significant portion of Americans, at least. The Adult Forum discusses very obliquely this series called Left Behind. You know this series of books? It's a fictional series about those who are not called to the supper of the Lamb at the end times. And certainly, at least once a year, there's a movie about how the earth is going to end, either from a Christian perspective or not. So there's a lot of interest. There's a lot of interest. I mean, when the end comes, it really will mean that God has finally set his mighty hand to his creation and will make right all things, all the bad things that happen. He will make restitution for all believers who have been shortchanged in this life, and he will wipe out society's ills. Paul was dealing with this in the church in Thessalonica. There were preachers who had come in behind Paul and were preaching that Jesus was going to come very, very soon, like that preacher in the 50s. The Thessalonian church was asking questions, and Paul was the one to give answers, correcting those hucksters who were leading Christians astray. They were really asking, at the very base of it, these people in Thessalonica were really asking, how should we live now that Jesus is coming? Some were selling everything. Some were perfectly healthy and simply stopping work and sponging off of the faith community. Others were putting everything they had on American Express and were praying that their new heavenly address would be different than the earthly address when those monthly statements started coming in. What Paul offers is striking in its simplicity. He reasserts that, yes, the Lord Christ is going to come, but he has not come quite yet. And surely if anybody would know this, it would be Paul. If anyone is destined for the heavenly realms, it would be the Apostle Paul. And so what was the answer to this thorny issue? How are we to live now that Jesus is coming? Paul's counsel amounts to this. Why not live as if Christ was already on his heavenly throne? Why not do that? Live as if you could see the Lord every day, all right, but simply see the Lord Christ in the faces of those whom he already loves on this earth. It is simply this, that God has already chosen the Thessalonians from the beginning to be saved. God has already chosen every single believing person alive today to share everlasting with Him. He has chosen every single believing person who has gone before us, and He has chosen every single living person who is born from this day forward with the sole purpose of being with Him. Everyone is predestined to be with God in everlasting life, if they choose to be. Everyone already has a membership card to the biggest party creation has ever seen. Whether we accept that card and its ramifications, or knowingly refuse, makes it all the difference in the world where we end up. But here's the thing. We know that God favors and blesses those who take care to know and understand the ways of God, to spread His word, those who take care of the orphan and widow, those who live a life of service, spending more time with sleeves rolled up in the kingdom rather than not. You see, this is what it's like to live in expectation that at some point everything will be put to rights, but also understanding that in the kingdom right now, not the kingdom to come, but the kingdom right now, we are freed to make huge contributions to the lives of those in need right now. It's amazing. Once a congregation decides to do this, they begin to transform. They change themselves. They change the world around them, all through the saving health of our Lord Christ in their lives. Now, as a congregation, we also participate in this in a huge way. The coat drive, our offerings to Irving Cares. We can't help everyone, but we help a pretty darn large portion. We have so much wrong in our world today, don't we? Look at the newspaper. See the news on TV. Read the papers. Poverty, destruction, hunger. It's the same in Paul's time. There's absolutely no difference at all. The Thessalonians were in the mood to give it up and just wait it out until the Lord Christ came. It's a fascinating letter. Paul wisely refocus them and us. When Christ comes, I pray He finds every single one of us doing our portion of kingdom work for His kingdom on earth right now. It's what our Lord Christ's sacrifice on the cross was all about. And we are about that sacrifice at St. Mark's. Will you pray with me now? O God, whose blessed Son was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil and make us the children of God and heirs of eternal life, grant us, we beseech Thee, that having this hope, we may purify ourselves even as He is pure, that when He shall appear again with power and great glory, we may be made like unto Him in His eternal and glorious kingdom, where with Thee, O Father, and Thee, O Holy Ghost, He liveth and reigneth, ever one God, world without end. Amen.